Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. That's our school bell, and when you hear that bell, you know to go get your Bible and be turning it, if you will, to Luke chapter 3, and we'll begin our detailed study of some of the verses there in just a moment. What we're doing is studying the great men of the New Testament, and right now we're talking about John the Baptist, and so you'll want to stay tuned in and listen to this and learn all you can about that amazing man. Now, while you're getting your Bible and turning to Luke chapter 3, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And for this school, we're using as a study aid notes written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of 1923. And this particular lesson on John the Baptist was written for July 1st, 1923. I was reading from those notes when we ran out of time in our last class. I'd like to go back and read just a little bit because this is so important, and it has to do with the remission of sins and the meaning of what "for the remission of sins" means. Let me read that to you again. Luke says that John preached the baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. Baptism of repentance is baptism springing from repentance. The people repented and were baptized. Repentance is turning from sin to obedience to God. It's more than sorrow for sin. Sorrow is not repentance, but godly sorrow worketh repentance, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Repentance is a change of purpose, a change of will, a change of heart, a determination to forsake sin, and a real turning from sin to obedience to God. Repentance led to baptism, because baptism was the obedience which God required as an expression of repentance. Had he required some other act as an expression of repentance or some other act of obedience, John would have preached it. And truly penitent people would have rendered that act. When they obeyed God, he forgave their sin. Hence it was the baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. There are two other passages like this. We read in Matthew 26 and verse 28. That Christ shed his blood for many unto remission of sins. And in Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent ye and be baptized unto the remission of sins." In these places, the Authorized Version, and that's what the King James Version is often called, the Authorized Version says, "For the remission of sins, Christ shed his blood that sins may be remitted." Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews 9:22. Through faith in Christ, people now repent and are baptized unto remission of sins, or that their sins may be blotted out or forgiven. John did not preach repentance unto remission of sins and baptism unto something else. The baptism of repentance was unto remission of sins. So the people clearly understood him because they were baptized in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 6. Let's talk for just a moment about confessing sins. Truly penitent people are not ashamed to confess their sins, to acknowledge them as their own. They blame no one else with them. Baptism itself, a burial in water to one dead to sin, is a confession of sin and an expression of repentance. John exhorted the people to repent because the kingdom of heaven was at hand, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, and that they might escape the wrath to come, Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. John baptized in the river Jordan, and in Aenon near unto Salim, because there was much water there. And the people came and were baptized, and they went out to him and were baptized, and went up out of the water, Mark 1 and verse 5 and verse 10 and John 3:23. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6:3 and 4 and Colossians 2:12. In order to be baptized, people went to the water. They went to much water. They went down into water, and they were buried in it, and then went up out of it and went away from it. John the Baptist's work was the fulfillment of prophecy. We read about that in Luke chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. After it says that he came into all the region round about Jordan, preaching the baptism unto the remission of sins, it says in Luke 3 and verse 4, as it is written in the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye ready a way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The prophecy concerning the work in John the Baptist was fulfilled at this time, and it is from Isaiah 43 through 5, and Luke quotes it in full. Adam Clark said, the idea is taken from the practice of Eastern monarchs who, whenever they entered upon an exhibition or took a journey through a desert country, sent harbingers before them to prepare all things for their passage, and pioneers to open the passes, to level the ways, and to remove all impediments. John was this voice, this warning, this exhortation to the people. He was the harbinger of the great king soon to come that way, and was preparing the way for him. He preached really in the literal wilderness, and he preached to the Jews in the deserts of sorrow and sin. The harbingers of kings prepared the way for chariots and armies by filling up valleys and leveling down hills and making straight roads through the wilderness and mountain passes. John prepared the way of the Lord by inducing people to repent, and he made the path straight by persuading them to forsake their crooked ways. As a result, multitudes were baptized. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 7, he said therefore to the multitudes that went out to be baptized of him, ye all spring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John's preaching greatly interested and aroused the people. They went out unto him from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5. This verse says, the multitudes. Well, not absolutely everyone was baptized, for some refused. We read in Luke chapter 7, 29 through 30, that all the people, when they heard, and the publicans, justified God being baptism with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him. Among those who went out to John to be baptized were many of the Pharisees and Sadducees. To these he said, ye offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This is direct, plain, and strong denunciation of sin. For such denunciation John was noted. This and his earnest exhortations to repentance greatly aroused and excited the people. They desired to escape the wrath to come. No responsible person can be saved without repentance. Sin is sin, and people should be made to see its exceeding sinfulness and horribleness. The viper. is a small, active, and very poisonous serpent. These Pharisees and Sadducees claiming to be of the seed of Abraham. But John said they were children of the old serpent, the devil, a generation of vipers. They were noted for their religious forms and ceremonies and for their zeal in keeping the tradition of their fathers. But they were denounced by John and Jesus as hypocrites filled with corruption. Their teaching was as ruinous and as poisonous to the souls of men as the bite of vipers was to the body. John saw by inspiration the poisonous, deadly effects of sin as God sees them. And we see the same now through the revelation that God has made. We should hate sin now as we hate deadly serpents, and we should flee from it as we would flee from them. We fear that many have their names on the church book when they have never repented and they are deceived. Sin is as deceptive as serpents. The wrath to come is the awful destruction which awaits all who do not repent. The destruction of Jerusalem and of the Jews, which followed the preaching of John, is a type of the still more fearful destruction of all the impenitent. Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, we are told to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, we read, "For ye, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For ye also suffered the same things of your own countrymen, even as they did of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove out us, and pleased not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they may be saved, to fill up their sins always. But the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, "God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the attaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, Paul writes, "To you that are afflicted, rest with us. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven with the angels of His power in flaming fire, rending vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might, when He shall come to be glorified of His saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Dear listener, have you repented of your sins? Of all your sins? That is a most serious question, isn't it? Repentance should be the burning theme now with all preachers. Not repentance as a theory, but genuine, true repentance as practice. And then with repentance comes the fruits worthy of repentance. John said in Luke chapter 3 and in verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." John exhorted all to be baptized, so to live and to show that they had repented. He baptized the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to his baptism, Matthew 3:7, and he exhorted them to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, unto which he had baptized them. John knew their hearts and their claims, and none could claim special privilege in the kingdom of Christ, because they were fleshly descendants of Abraham. God did not select Abraham arbitrarily. Abraham was a good man and a man of faith. We'll continue this in our next study.